Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 25th day of January 2023. I'm absolutely thrilled to have two old, very long time and very close friends on the program today, and their names should not be unfamiliar to most of you in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience. Today I have the privilege of having back on the program Dr. William Webster, who is pastor of Grace Bible Church of Battleground, Washington. He is an author and founder of Christian Resources. And we also have Reverend David T. King joining us, who is assistant pastor at Christ Church, which is a Presbyterian Church in America congregation of Katy, Texas, and co-author with Dr. William Webster of the monumental three-volume work, Holy Scripture, The Ground and Pillar of Our Faith, which totals approximately 900 pages of content. Today, the three of us will be addressing saving faith. How does Rome define it? And first of all, let me welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. William Webster.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
And David King, it's always great to have you on the program as well. Welcome back.
Likewise, Chris. It's great to be here.
And for the sake of our listeners who have not yet heard you, I'll have each of you describe the churches where you serve. If you could, Dr. Webster, let our listeners know about Grace Bible Church of Battleground, Washington.
Grace Bible is a Reformed Baptist Church. We are right outside of the city of Portland, Oregon, in the state of Washington. We've been a church for a little over 20 years and very committed to the principles of the Reformation, the authority of Scripture, and the gospel as revealed in the Word of God.
And if you want more details on this church, go to gracebiblebattleground.org, gracebiblebattleground.org. Now tell us about Christian Resources.
Christian Resources is an apologetics ministry I started back, probably 30 years ago. And it deals with, it's basically a defense of the Reformation. It deals with major historical issues related to the Reformation and Roman Catholicism, the biblical gospel, the authority of the Word of God, all of the basics of the Reformation, why the Reformation is important, necessary. It also deals with the fundamentals of the Christian life. It has a lot of research that I've done on historical issues, teachings about how to know the Lord, how to walk with Him. There are audio messages, but it's basically a ministry very committed to, again, the principles, solus Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, all for the glory of God.
Amen. If anybody wants more details on this ministry, Go to ChristianTruth.com, ChristianTruth.com. And by the way, I just wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners, and I'm probably going to butcher the city pronunciation, Ballynahinch in Northern Ireland, Cecil Andrews, who has been a long-distance friend of mine, and I've interviewed him in the past, and he is a dear brother and operates Take Heed Ministries there in Northern Ireland. He just wanted to encourage our listeners today by saying, William Webster's writings have been of immense help to me in my ministry, takeheed.info, over the years. And I had the privilege of meeting Bill with my wife, Margaret, when we were co-ministering with the late Richard Bennett in Washington many moons ago. Well, thank you for that, Cecil. And now, if you could, Pastor David T. King, tell our listeners about Christ Church of Katy, Texas, where you minister as an assistant pastor.
Yes, Chris, I have the privilege of serving as an assistant pastor at Christ Church in Katy, Texas, which I guess is 25, 30 miles west of Houston, Texas. And we are a PCA congregation, and we adhere to the Westminster Standards, that is the confession and the catechisms, both the larger and the shorter. And we're the church that really seeks to preach the gospel and to encourage the members of our congregation to become mature disciples of Jesus Christ.
Praise God. And if you want more details on this church, go to CCKPCA.org, CCKPCA.org, CCK for Christ Church, Katy, which is the city in Texas, and PCA for Presbyterian Church in America, CCKPCA.org. I'm also thrilled to announce to our listeners, I made the announcement for the first time yesterday, but these two men who I am interviewing today are both going to be speakers at the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. That's going to be held on Thursday, April 13th at 11 a.m. and absolutely free of charge. And this is only for men in ministry leadership. And not only are you going to be getting free admission and having a free meal, but you're also going to be leaving with a very heavy sack of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom that have been personally selected by me from their catalogs. And so it's a no-brainer if you are a man in ministry leadership and are able to travel to Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. I strongly urge you to send me an email so that you can find out more details. That email is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Immediately following that, over the 3 days right after the luncheon, Friday through Sunday, April 14th through the 16th, these two brothers that I have on the show today are also going to be conducting a Bible conference, absolutely free of charge. The Bible conference is open to everyone, a man, women, and children. And again, absolutely free. The theme of this conference is the gospel, removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. It is a must, if you can attend this, to make every effort possible to be in attendance, especially since it's free. And you will be blessed and edified, and I'm sure you will leave there with even more ammunition to be even more ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you as a result of attending that 3-day conference. And again, that's at a different location than the luncheon. That's at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And again, if you have any interest in attending that, and again, this one, unlike the luncheon, is open to everyone, men, women, and children, Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put luncheon and conference in the subject line. Well, I'm going to give our email address to our listeners right away in the event that they have questions, primarily on the issue of Roman Catholicism and also on the true historic theology of the Protestant Reformation. Our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a Roman Catholic and you're beginning to question the beliefs that you were possibly raised in or have clung to for many years, maybe even decades. You're starting to question these things. You're starting to hear that the Bible contradicts these teachings of Rome. Or perhaps you're even an evangelical and you realize that the church where you are a member is far from what the legacy of the Protestant Reformation has left to us. And more importantly, you have noticed that it is very foreign from what the Bible teaches about many things. We would understand that you would want to remain anonymous for those kinds of questions, so please do. But if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, let me start with you, Bill, since you are the author of the book that we are primarily gleaning from in our discussion today, Saving Faith, How Does Rome Define It? Give us some bedrock background as to what the Church of Rome dogmatically believes and why the Reformation was necessary, and also how the constant regurgitation of the Church of Rome that they believe what Christ and his apostles laid down, and that they are continuing the unanimous consent of what the Church Fathers believed in regard to crucial issues. And then after you give us some background information on that, we'll have David join us with his own comments. But if you could start, Bill.
The reason I put this book together, and it's an editing, I'm basically an editor on this one. I do have some comments through it. My desire, because when you're dealing with the issues of belief systems, you need to accurately define whatever belief system you are dealing with, what they actually stand for and teach. There's a lot of confusion that comes into discussions about these issues with respect to history and the Reformation and Roman Catholicism, evangelicalism, Protestantism, if you will. As an evangelical, going back to the heritage of the Reformation, the ultimate authority for what I believe and for what the Reformers taught is the written Word of God. It is sola scriptura. It is the revelation that we possess of God, of what is true, of what the need of salvation is, of how that need is met through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that becomes an experience that is real and true in the life of a sinner to be reconciled to God. This is what the issue is all about. It's all about how a man can be made right with God, reconciled to God. And that message is given very clearly in the written Word of God to us, and we are given warning after warning not to distort that message, not to deviate in the least from the truth of what the Word of God teaches about it. I was raised Roman Catholic. I am today a very committed evangelical in the right sense of what that word means, both from an historical standpoint and a biblical standpoint. And I realize in talking to people that there's a lot of confusion about terms. How do you define what Rome teaches about justification, sanctification, grace, faith, about Christ's work? Because the Roman Catholic Church does affirm we are justified by grace through faith in Christ. The problem comes in defining terms because we use the same terms. Do we mean the same thing by the terms that we use? And that is the crux of the matter. So what I have done in this book is put together from the Code of Canon Law, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, from the Question and Answer Catholic Catechism by John Hardin, the document of Trent, the Council of Trent, and the canons of Vatican I and Vatican II, as well as certain teachings of bishops of Rome that are considered to be ex cathedra, the defined dogmas of the church. What is it that Rome officially teaches from these sources? Now you have an objective standard based upon the truth of the Word of God. What does it say? What does the Roman Catholic Church actually teach with respect to these issues of the gospel and salvation? Are they compatible? It's kind of like with Augustine dealing with Pelagius. Pelagius did not deny the need for grace. He affirmed the term, but he redefined the term. And in redefining the term, he redefined it in a way that made it unbiblical. That was the issue for Augustine. It is the same issue we're dealing with here with the Roman Catholic Church and the way it defines these issues of the gospel and salvation.
And David, one of the things that you and I and Bill witness and have witnessed for quite a while is that you will have those who are members of evangelical churches, perhaps they were even raised that way, abandoning evangelicalism and converting to Roman Catholicism because they have swallowed wholesale the lie that the Catholic Church is merely continuing the very same teachings of Christ, his apostles, and the church fathers, and they have also witnessed rightly that evangelicals are very foreign, many in our modern day are very foreign to what our heroes of the faith, the Protestant reformers, actually taught and stood for at the risk of torture and death, and fought for and pled for. The reformers, were they to revisit the planet Earth by some miracle of God and walk into most or at least many evangelical churches today, they would wonder what religion was actually housing this worship service, so-called, and they would probably scratch their heads and walk out the door. But if you could tell us about this difficulty that we face when we see people converting to Catholicism, but they have either been fed a lie from Rome that they are swallowing, or they are thinking that the teachings that they are hearing in false modern evangelical churches are actually historically authentic.
Yes, I think that most of the time when you find there are certain called evangelical Christians, if we can use that term in a loose manner. Many times the reason they convert to Rome is that they're led to believe that they are connecting with the only true ancient church that has come down through the ages, and people believe that they're uniting with this only true church. And yet, when you go back to the scriptures, you find that the real issue of being in Christ comes through the preaching of the gospel that calls us to repent of our sins, to turn away from our sins. And of course, to be honest, none of us do that perfectly, but what we're called to do is to repent purposefully, that we have a true turning away from our sins and a turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the way that the Westminster Confession describes faith. Faith is not something that comes alone as a gift to people who receive Christ. Faith in Christ is receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness. And faith is the only instrument whereby we are justified before God. And yet, faith that comes to us in the grace of God is not something that is alone in the person justified. It is ever, ever accompanied with all the other saving graces. It's not a dead faith. It's a faith that works by love. It's a faith that desires to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I wanted to emphasize when Bill mentioned that Rome does, it takes the terms that we as evangelicals use, and they use the same terms, but they don't mean the same thing. We think of grace as something that is unmerited from God. And yet, if you read, for example, John Hardin's catechism, he tells us that we can merit for ourselves an increase of sanctifying grace. Well, if grace is unmerited, how can it be merited? He also says that we can, that when we exercise fidelity to the church, it gives joy in the heart, and that merits further grace. Again, grace is unmerited. It is the free favor of God that he bestows graciously upon the penitent sinner, the one who turns away from his sin and embraces the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as evangelicals do not believe that grace is something that can be merited. And yet Rome takes that term and defines it in a very different way. And what Rome requires of the adherence to their standards is virtually implicit faith in the teaching of the church, in the official doctrines or dogmas of the church. Those things must be embraced in order to be regarded as united to God savingly. And yet, grace is not something that can be merited.
Now, who is the Roman Catholic source you were quoting from?
I was quoting from John Hardin's catechism.
What century would that have been?
Well, it was his, I'm not quite sure. I think it was in 20th century. The date of his catechism I have is 1981.
Okay. And it's kind of interesting how liberal the Church of Rome has become, and yet their dogma set forth in Trent, and then just a few times after that, dogma which may never be altered, never changed, is very rarely, for quite a long time, the focus of any pronouncements of either popes or clergy. And it is quite an interesting thing how you can have a pope as left-wing as Francis is existing where he was clearly in violation of much of what Trent laid down as the absolute dogmatic beliefs that must be believed and followed and obeyed. And I'm quite certain, and I'm wondering if you would agree, in the days of Trent, would not Francis be a candidate for execution by Rome with some of the extreme apostate views he has? Even under the using the Church of Rome's own teachings as a litmus test.
Well, certainly so. When you engage Roman apologists today, they really don't want to talk about the present pope because they're very much embarrassed by him. And considering all the moral scandals in the Church of Rome today, with all of its boasted morality, yet you see the degeneracy among the clergy and where they are, including the present pope. It seems as though it's collapsing on its own. It's a house of cards.
Yeah, in fact, Bill, it's an interesting situation that we, as conservative, Calvinistic, Reformed evangelicals, find ourselves in. When we are having conversations with most Roman Catholics, there are obviously sometimes the rare occasion when a traditionalist or one that more accurately reflects the historic teachings of Roman Catholicism pops his head up and we have a more realistic and honest conversation with two polar opposite views. You have the modern Roman Catholic putting us in the position of having to be the bad guy and the not so nice guy or the mean guy, because in the 21st century, we're the ones saying to them, no, you're not my brother. I love you. You're a great friend. I love your company. I can't wait till you come over to my house for dinner again. But you're not my brother in Christ because you are denying the gospel. And they are very willing to embrace us as their brothers. But they don't even realize that the Council of Trent, which again is dogmatic in what it laid down, teachings that never can be changed, they're the ones centuries before we were born anathematized us. I mean, if you want to pick up on that.
Yeah, if you go back in history, and this is basically a consistent theme all the way up through Vatican I, which was in 1870, 71, and then for years afterwards, Leo XIII wrote an encyclical affirming Vatican I, affirming Trent, affirming the historic stance of the Roman Catholic Church. It alone is the one true church established by Christ in Peter, with a succession coming down through Peter, through the bishops of Rome, throughout history. They alone possess the means of salvation for sinners. Apart from the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation. That's the historical position. Pius IX said, outside the apostolic Roman Church, no one can be saved.
And yet, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you can multiply those kinds of statements by other popes. Leo was one, Leo XIII, in the 20th century. But then you come back to Trent, and the dogmatic statements of Trent, the canons of Trent, anathematizing those who disagree and take issue with and repudiate their teachings that are the response to the Reformation and a biblical gospel. They have repudiated a biblical gospel, but they anathematize those who disagree with them because they believe that they are infallible and that they are indeed the one true church that alone can define doctrine that is truly saving for men.
Now, what I was about to say is that although every conservative Roman Catholic apologist today agrees with that last statement, they adamantly and vociferously disagree with the understanding that the evangelical Protestants are not their brothers and sisters. It's interesting that even the most conservative of the modern apologetic world in Rome will always extend the olive branch to us as brothers, because they probably realize it would be the death knell to their popularity amongst us, and even further put up an impenetrable wall that prevents conversions from occurring if they start in mass spewing that we are all damned because we are not in the Church of Rome. But I'm going to have us pick up where we left off there when we return from this first break. If you have a question for William Webster and David T. King, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known, and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com, or call 717-258-4688, 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an absolutely mind-blowing deal. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as they mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they are making their purchase. So whether you are actually purchasing a piece of jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com for $100 or more, or if you're getting a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo into a piece of jewelry, like a pendant for a necklace or a ring or any other kind of piece of jewelry, or whatever else your imagination and your creativity can conjure up. RoyalDiadem.com are absolute masters and craftsmen at this art of customizing jewelry. I've seen with my own eyes and held in my hands pieces of jewelry they have customized, including a cross pendant with the crown of thorns for one of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s. He recently had a custom designed cross made for a necklace, and it is absolutely mind-blowing. It is absolutely breathtaking, and he was thrilled beyond words. And that could be you, too, if you want a custom-designed piece of jewelry created. Go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we still qualify to get 100% of the profits from this job or from this purchase. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer, so please try to make your purchase as soon as possible at royaldiadem.com. Always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Dr. William Webster and Reverend David T. King discussing saving faith. How does Rome define it? And before I continue on the thread that we were discussing before the break, I want to go to, I believe he is a first-time questioner, Steve in South Berwick, Maine. And Steve says, I wish I could send you the year's worth of dialogue that I have had between myself and a rather devoted Catholic. He is a relative and is probably one of the few diehard apologists of Catholicism I have ever met. He literally quotes from things like De Verbum from the Vatican, denies the authority of Scripture because, per him, we do not know if we have the full canon revelation from God, saying things like the Word of God and Scripture are not synonymous because much of the Word of God is not found in Scripture, and then quotes passages like John 20, verse 30, Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. I responded with, this seems like you are basically saying that God can speak to people outside of Scripture, which was true during that time. But we are called to use Scripture as a litmus test to see if what was heard is valid. I think you are holding on what was not recorded in the Bible versus what we actually have. All right, I'm going to go on. This is very long, so I'm going to go on to his second points after this. First of all, much of what he says seems to be, from my understanding, accurate according to what Rome believes, with the exception of the canon. The Church of Rome believes there is a definite settled canon, even though their tradition supersedes the canon. At least they act that way. But as far as what our listener is saying about his Catholic relative claiming we don't know what's in the canon, that is not a Roman Catholic teaching, is it?
Which one do you want to answer?
Bill, you could start.
That is not a Catholic teaching. The Catholic teaching defines the exact nature of the canon. Trent did that. It's dogmatic. They have laid it in concrete, so to speak. But that goes contrary to the history of the church that precedes. In particular, the patristic age, which did not, in the main, embrace the Apocrypha as the inspired word of God. The early church, taking the view of Athanasius, viewed the Apocrypha as having a certain function within the church for believers. It could be used for the purposes of edification, but it was not authoritative. It was not scripture in the same sense as the written Hebrew canon was scripture and the New Testament canon is scripture. They rejected the Apocrypha. Trent has dogmatized the nature of the Apocrypha as being part of the canon of scripture. And there is this divide then between the evangelical Protestant church and its holding to the Hebrew canon of 39 books of the Hebrew Bible and the 27 books of the New Testament. So that is very clear. There is no problem at all with what the canon is from a Roman Catholic standpoint. I think the question comes with his friend. He says that the Roman Catholic Church alone has the authority to define the canon, and therefore the Protestant Church has no basis upon which to say which books are in the canon.
And David, do you have anything to follow up with? David, are you there? Well, I guess David's not with us. I'm not sure why.
Here I am, Chris. Right. I had myself muted. Well, it's just another claim of the Communion of Rome that we as Protestants cannot know the Word of God. When we appeal to the historical development of the canon, it's very clear, although they will argue with us that that Rome is basically on the Protestant side when it comes to the historical definition of the canon. You can't go back really to one of the councils that they often appeal to. I think it's in 397 in a North African council. And they actually embraced one of the books of the canon that Trent excluded from the canon, that being, I think it was Third Maccabees, or is Esdras, Third Esdras. But they don't even have the same canon as that council. But the thing about it is, God's word does not need the validation of a church council. God's word speaks for itself. It stands on its own authority. Men like Chrysostom and Augustine have assured us of that in some of their own writings, that God himself is the witness to his own word. Hilary of Poitiers assures us that only God is a fitting witness to his word. So we don't need a church council or the authority of some communion to define for us what the canon of Holy Scripture was. And it was very clear when you read the writings of some of the early church writers in the second century of the church already, they, before any council had made any statement on the canon of Scripture, they were quoting from books of Scripture, knowing very well that it was Scripture from which they were quoting. So I really think that that's a very poor argument, but it's one that the Roman apologist, he thinks that's a sure arrow in his quiver, and it really comes to nothing when you compare it to the historical development of the canon and the witness of the early church writers.
All right, I'll just read one more part of his email. And just to let you know, Steve, in Berwick, South Berwick, Maine, in the future, please give us a very brief and concise question if you're going to submit a question. But he says in the second part, apologetic of his family member, his Roman Catholic, it is up to the priest, that is what is truly recorded in Scripture, I think is what he means by that. It is up to the priest, since that was their directive to do by Jesus himself when he told the original 11 apostles, Judas was already dead, to do this when he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained, taken from John 20, verses 20 through 23. Bill, if you could comment on that before we go to our midway break, and I can only give you 2 minutes to respond to that.
This has to do with the authority of the keys to retain and forgive sins given by Christ to Peter. The church fathers basically said he's given it to the church at large. Peter is a representative of all the apostles and further in the history of the church to all of the leaders of the church who teach and preach the word of God. To retain and forgive sins, you see the application of that in the lives of these men Christ is speaking to and the preaching that they did on the day of Pentecost, declaring to men the basis upon which they can know they are forgiven of their sins. If they reject the message, their sins will be retained. There is no history in the early church of auricular confession, of going to a priest privately, confessing sin, getting absolution, his forgiveness as a judge, and then doing penance. There is nothing of that in the early church. There was a process by which those who committed very grave sins had to deal publicly with the church in doing a penitential discipline. But auricular confession was not known in the early church. And for those who committed venial sin, they dealt with that simply by praying to God and asking for forgiveness.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us. It's the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, by the use of public service announcements and other local things. While we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials, please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can that is provided by as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers when you cannot purchase what they are selling or use the services they are offering or visit their churches. Please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you love this show and are truly grateful that there are advertisers who think so highly of this show that they want to keep it on the air through their advertising dollars. If you really are thankful for that, thank them using their contact information. And send us your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a vital, a premier, a very prominent sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Therefore, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether the gifts be for your brothers and sisters in Christ or for the lost people that you know and love. Solid-ground-books.com is the perfect place because they publish for the first time and also bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing me and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most valuable advertisers happy through your purchases. You're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com a favor of incalculable value because of the fact that they are one of those rare publishers where you can never make a mistake by purchasing a book from them. Everything that they sell and bring back into print and publish is nothing but spectacular, Christ-honoring, and biblically faithful. Go to solid-ground-books.com today. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests today, Bill Webster and David T. King, as we continue our conversation on saving faith, how does Rome define it? I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. Now, first of all, if you really love this show, you don't want it to go off the air, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical mailing address the old-fashioned way? Well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, such as your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional private practice, like a law firm or medical practice, or perhaps it's just a special event that you are arranging that you want to promote. As long as it's compatible with what I believe, you don't have to believe identically with what I believe, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. But folks, we have never bounced back from the hysteria of the COVID-19 mandates that were imposed upon our nation and, in fact, the world, which no doubt must have reduced the income of many of our listeners and perhaps even destroyed the livelihoods and family-owned businesses of our listeners, because the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio radically plummeted ever since those unconstitutional mandates began, and we have never bounced back. The giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is at an all-time low, so please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, last but not least, if you are giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please never cut into the giving or the money that you have set aside to give to your own local church in order to give to us. Don't do that. Don't give your own church less money to give us a financial gift. Never do that. If you are really struggling to survive as well, please wait till you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you give us a financial gift. Providing for your church and providing for your family are clear commands of Scripture, and obviously providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command. But if you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, share some of that money with us so that we can maintain this program. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Okay, so I lied. That wasn't last. This is last. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Grace Bible Church of Battleground, Washington, or Christ Church of Katy, Texas, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of Christ-honoring, biblically faithful churches, and I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches no matter where on the planet Earth they live. And sometimes these churches I have found for them are just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that might be you too. So if you are without a dependable, reliable, biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that goes for your family, friends, and loved ones who are without solid churches as well. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in your questions to Dr. William Webster and Reverend David T. King on our theme, Saving Faith, How Does Rome Define It? chrisarnson@gmail.com. And David T. King, if you could pick up where Bill left off, and if you have anything to add about the keys that the Roman Catholic Church frequently refers to, even laymen very often in a discussion on our theological differences will bring up the issue of the priests holding the keys to the kingdom because they've been passed down by Peter, and they have the power to forgive sinners and so on. If you could pick up where Bill left off.
Yes, Chris. First and foremost, there is no office of priest sanctioned in the New Testament scriptures. Such a character does not exist. As is already, the point has already been made, it is through the preaching of the gospel that the exercise of the keys is established. You take someone like Chrysostom, John Chrysostom, who in a sense really denied in principle the whole concept of auricular confession. He says, for example, in one of his writings, he says, why are you ashamed to blush and confess your sins? And then he says, why speak of it to man? Who may blame you? He says, why confess it to your fellow servant who may cause you shame? He says, rather show it to the master, to him who cares for you, who is kindly disposed. Show the wound to the physician. And then, Chris, one of the other points I really wanted to make on today's broadcast has to do with a burning issue of that affects the gospel that we have from the whole LGBTQ movement. People today are identifying themselves as, quote, gay Christians, that they're oriented to that lifestyle, that they have certain lusts and desires and what is commonly called in Holy Scripture concupiscence. But I wanted to point out this. You take, for example, the Council of Trent in the year 1546, in its fifth session, and this is a decree it gave concerning original sin. Listen to this language and see if it is not shocking on the very ears of a Christian. Trent says, this concupiscence, this lust or this desire, which the apostle sometimes calls sin. Well, he may not always explicitly call it sin, but it's always sin in the mind of the apostle. This lust, this desire, which is called concupiscence. Rome says the Holy Synod declares that the Catholic Church has never understood it to be called sin. So here on the one hand, they're confessing that sometimes Paul calls it sin, but they never call it sin. And they say that it is never understood it to be called sin as being truly and properly sin in those born again. But because it is of sin and inclines to sin, and if anyone is of a contrary sentiment, let him be anathema. And you can see how that gives ground to so many today who think that they can go on in pursue their lust and have this lust and identify themselves in terms of this lust when it is clearly condemned by the Apostle Paul in Holy Scripture. And the gospel calls us to forsake all of our sins and to embrace Christ.
Now, to clarify what you are speaking of, I don't know if I'm misunderstanding you, but I have known for a long time that one of the reasons why homosexual scandals exist in the Roman Catholic Church, in fact, I would dare to say that the homosexual scandals in reality far exceed the pedophilia scandals, that most of the priests are wickedly involved in the molestation of teenage boys rather than prepubescent children. And that's not to lessen the severity of their wickedness. I'm just saying that as a matter of fact, it seems that to be more politically correct, the media and the world has chosen to lay the charge of pedophilia against priests rather than homosexuality because they don't think there's anything wrong with homosexuality. But having said that, the Roman Catholic Church, even amongst modern-day conservative Catholics, this is not only a liberal idea, but many within the Church of Rome, and even conversations I have had with apologists who are conservative, have said they agree with the admission into the priesthood those who identify themselves as homosexual as long as they vow to be chaste. In other words, they vow not to physically get involved in bringing their homosexual desires to fruition. They seem to think that there's nothing innately so wrong with having the proclivity towards homosexual acts as to ban them from the priesthood. And I'm wondering, is that where you are coming from, or were you coming from a completely different?
Yes. Yes, Chris. They think that these desires are okay so long as they are not acted upon. And it's clear that the Apostle Paul differs from the view of Trent on that particular issue.
Yeah, I would mention the names of a couple of these Roman Catholic apologists who told me they agree with that allowance for professed homosexual men to enter into the priesthood as long as they're chaste. But I don't know if they've changed their view, so I'd rather not mention them by name. But it's startling, because I'm talking about conservatives here.
Well, Jesus makes it clear himself that concupiscence is sin when he says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He's clearly identifying that as sin. It's inescapable in my mind. But when you condone that sort of thing, you can well expect what is followed within the clergy of the Roman Communion.
By the way, our listener, Steve, who sent in a question earlier, Steve, who lives in New Hampshire, I've got great news for you. You have won a free copy of the book by Dr. William Webster, one of our guests today, The Church of Rome at the Bar of History, published by Banner of Truth, and compliments of Banner of Truth Publishing, who have provided us with a limited number of copies to give to those who have submitted questions to our guest today. And once again, we thank Banner of Truth for the generosity. And their website is banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. By the way, Steve, we need your full mailing address there in New Hampshire. I'm sorry, was it Maine? I don't remember. wherever you live, it's South Berwick, Maine. Sorry about the New Hampshire comment. Steve, send us your full mailing address in South Berwick, Maine, so that we can have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service ship to you a free copy of The Church of Rome at the Bar of History, published by Banner of Truth. And we thank CVBBS.com for shipping out all of our winners their free books and Bibles and many other things that they win through by submitting questions. And that reminds me, Steve, if you are a first-time questioner, and I think that you may be, you've also won a free New American Standard Bible. So if you're a first-time questioner, let us know, and you will also receive that in your package from CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, compliments of the publishers of the New American Standard Bible. We have the aforementioned Cecil Andrews of Take Heed Ministries in Ballynahinch, Northern Ireland, and by the way, he said that I pronounced it correctly. And by the way, Cecil, I'm going to have to abbreviate your long question, so please forgive me for that, but we have too many people listening who want their questions asked and answered. Cecil says, grace is central to Rome's false gospel. What do your guests think of this short extract from a booklet I wrote many years ago? In it, I wrote, there are some who distort the pivotal truth of what grace really is. They claim that God instills a commodity called grace into people's hearts through various means, rituals, observances, sacraments. Thus, grace becomes a gift, a reward for man's obedience and good intentions. And by the grace received, and he has grace in quotes, they are enabled to please God and earn salvation. People are saved by grace, they declare, but their particular brand of grace is a reward gift, its ultimate cause lying in their own actions or works. The grace of which Scripture speaks, therefore, is always and only found in God. That salvation is utterly of God's free mercy, bestowed on undeserving sinners who were chosen in Christ before time began. So Cecil is basically asking if you agree with that comment from a booklet he wrote? And we'll start with Bill.
Cecil has fairly accurately, I think, represented what the Roman Catholic view of grace is. When they say we're saved by grace, we need to understand what they mean. What that means is that Christ on the cross merited grace. That grace then is uniquely channeled through the Roman Catholic Church alone, through a hierarchy of mediators, beginning with Jesus and Mary, coming down to the Bishop of Rome, and now we have the Church. The Church is called the Universal Sacrament of Salvation and Reconciliation. And it is the means by which grace is channeled from Jesus and Mary through the Church and its priesthood and its sacraments to the sinner, so that that sinner can be reconciled to God. But what happens is grace is a substance or a quality placed in the soul by God, by which that person now becomes enabled to do works that merit justification before God. Justification is not a legal forensic work under the law where Christ fulfills by his righteousness all of the demands of the law for sinful men. All men and women are under the law of God. It demands perfect righteousness. If I'm going to go to heaven, I must have perfect righteousness. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Christ delivered us from that curse. He lived a perfect life under the law of God, perfect righteousness as a man. He went to the cross then to bear the penalty, the full penalty, punishment, the wrath of God. He's a propitiation for the sins of the world. And he is the Lamb of God then who takes away the sin of the world. That's grace. The totality of the guilt of my sin is dealt with. All of the condemnation due my sin is dealt with. Christ has fulfilled the law for me. In him, when I come to him in repentance and faith, and I am united to him, I am eternally justified by God at that very moment. Justification is not a process based upon works that I do by grace. Justification is Christ alone accomplishing what no man can do, because to be accepted by God, I must be perfect. I have not even the inkling of being perfect. I cannot even remotely think that somehow God is going to accept me on the basis of my good deeds. I have no good deeds. Grace is God delivering me from sin totally by Jesus Christ alone. That is why our faith has to be a trust in him alone, and why the Word of God says over and over again, it is not by works. We are saved by faith apart from the works of the law. We receive righteousness as a gift apart from works. But once I'm in Christ, because I am saved, I am sanctified and regenerated. And now I will do works as a fruit of a work that has been eternally accomplished for me in Jesus Christ. So though it is not by works, it will result in the fruit of works in my life. But those works are done out of love for God, not out of a desire to earn his favor. That is opposed to grace. Romans 11:6 says, if it is by grace, it is no longer by works. For if it is by works, grace is no longer grace.
Now,
it's by Christ alone.
Let me have you clarify something. Since you are a very strong, vociferous public advocate, not only in your audible words, but in your writings, of lordship salvation. When you said just moments ago that you have no good works, you're obviously referring to works that could be considered meritorious, because you and I and David all believe, as do all historically accurate and biblically faithful Reformed Christians, that in order for someone to be deemed a genuine brother in Christ, they must produce good works as evidence, not as a cause of salvation, but as an evidence of genuine salvation, just as James says in his epistle. So am I right on that, just to clarify?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's basically what I said. It's fruit. You're not, you do works as a result of grace in you because you are already saved. That work of grace in the heart and the life is what God does in his sovereign work in the heart, raising a sinner from the dead, uniting that sinner to Christ. And what happens in salvation, a man is delivered from sin, from every aspect of sin. Justification is one aspect of sin. It's guilt and condemnation due to my sinful state before God. I'm also regenerated in Christ. I have a new nature, a new heart. I'm also sanctified. My life has been set apart to Christ, because in coming to him, I must repent of my rebellion against God and his law. And I become a slave, a doulos in Greek, of the one who is Lord. That is how he delivers me from the bondage and the power of my sin. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, by his doing, by God's doing, his sovereign work, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It is all in him, and all of those works are accomplished of delivering a man from sin when they are in Christ.
And David, do you have any further comments?
I would simply add that Rome denies the sufficiency of the atonement with regard to the temporal penalties of sin, hence their whole doctrine of purgatory and so on. They believe that we must pay the price for, you know, for our, you know, the temporal price for our sins in purgatory. And when you read a early church writer such as Basil of Caesarea, he denies the whole concept of differing between venial sins and mortal sins. He tells us plainly that when he takes up the scriptures and the Old and New Testaments, he says that disobedience towards God is plainly judged not to lie in the multitude of sins, nor their magnitude, but in the mere transgression of any one command, and that there's a common judgment of God against all disobedience. And so they're denying the perfect sufficiency of the atonement of Jesus Christ. It just does away with the biblical gospel, and it is belittling of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And by the way, Cecil, since you live overseas, we cannot ship you a free copy of The Church of Rome at the Bar of History, published by Banner of Truth. But if you do know and love someone in the United States whose address you care to provide for us, we will have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, ship that book to them at no cost to you or to us. The shipping fees would be astronomical and put cvbbs.com out of business, I'm certain, if we were shipping books and Bibles to all of our overseas listeners. So I hope you understand that. And if you care to give us an American with an address that you want to receive the book, let us know. But thank you for contributing to today's program. Let me ask you guys first. Would you care, first of all, Bill, to state anything else about another issue under the umbrella of saving faith? How does Rome define it? or do you want me to go to a listener question? Because the listener questions can wait if you want to say something first.
No, you can go ahead to the listener.
Okay, we have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I am in constant dialogue, and it often gets very heated, with my friends and family members who are Roman Catholic. Sometimes they attempt to derail the conversation by bringing up issues that are more trivial when compared to the gospel. Do you have any counsel and guidance and advice on how we can keep the main thing, when we are having conversations with Roman Catholics? I know that we often have temptations to bring up things like the title of father for the priests and the outlandish robes and garments they wear and all kinds of things they do ceremonially, which are in and of themselves very important issues. But sometimes we can get sidetracked from the more weighty matters. Can you help us on this? And Bill, you could start, Bill, and then we'll go to David.
Well, I think prayer might be the first thing you need to do. Praying for the individuals that you're involved with, that you're interacting with. Praying for an open door that the Lord might direct your conversations to the things that are really substantive and that are really important. All these secondary kind of frivolous issues really don't amount to anything. And I agree with you. You want to try to focus on the things that are really important. You can look at what the Word of God says about the gospel in Galatians 1, the importance of it and the severe warning that is given by Paul in Galatians 1 about distorting and corrupting the gospel that has been revealed by God in His Word, that anyone who preaches, who teaches, who disseminates a false gospel is under the anathema of God, not some man or organization. This is God's curse. Paul says that twice in Galatians 1. And so trying to bring that very sober realization to people's hearts and minds. What we're dealing with here are of eternal importance for men and women to understand and to be clarified. We are called to present the gospel. So I would just urge you to pray. Trust the Lord to give you those opportunities, but you can only do so much in terms of where people are willing to go. But I think you're right to try to keep the focus there on the first things.
And David, do you have any comments?
Yeah, it's not, I agree completely that we ought to keep our eyes upon first things and keep first things first. But I would also advise the listener to give yourself the prayer. Sometimes, you know, only God is going to, and we believe that it's God Himself in the act of, or the act, or the process of conversion, but justification itself is a free act of God. That's something that only God can accomplish in the life of an individual. I remember one of the stories of Augustine from his confessions when his mother went to a Catholic bishop who himself had converted from Manichaeism, and she asked him to speak to her son and to prove to her son Augustine. Monica asked him to prove to Augustine, asked this priest, this bishop to prove to Augustine that Manichaeism was wrong. And the bishop looked at her and says, God will not send to hell someone who prays and weeps tears over the conversion of her son. In other words, God is going to be the thing that is needed the most was what he is emphasizing to Monica, was that she needed to continue to pray for her son, and that God would not deny the son of such tears salvation. I thought that was interesting. That's certainly not true in every case. We're not saved by our tears and we're not saved by our prayers. But we are saved by God when God himself is pleased to intervene. So sometimes, especially when it comes to relatives and family members, we're far more effective in prayer sometimes when we're at odds with one another vocally.
If you could very briefly define Manichaeanism, I believe it's a worship of mannequins, right? No, if you could define.
No, it was actually a Gnostic sect that only presented God in terms of Augustine, when he was a Manichae, he only thought of God in physical terms. And it was only, when he was converted under the preaching of Augustine, of Ambrose, that he saw that God was an infinitely eternal spirit. And Augustine was converted from his Manichaeism. But it was really one of the Gnostic sects.
And we have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, one of our most faithful and loyal listeners, saying something that I actually agree with. She says, I would not discount any question from someone who sincerely is asking. I would just merely say that some questions will be answered at a later time so that as not to chase squirrels and keep the topic at hand. I think that's a very good comment. If somebody brings up the fact that they see nothing wrong with calling their so-called priest father, or they have no problem with a priest or a bishop wearing robes that would rival Liberace's garments, that we're not supposed to die on those hills and take up too much of the individual's time or ours by trying to refute those things. Do you think that Cindy has some merit in what she says?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, sure. You could start and Bill can follow.
I think she's spot on. I don't think, even John in his first epistle addressed, he recognizes that some of our people are called father, are referred to as a father in the faith. I think that when Jesus said, call no man master, what he was saying is he doesn't want us to address someone with father in terms as though they're the master and they're the only one that has understanding of such things. And in that sense, it's right. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is our master. But to pursue some kind of tangent like that really doesn't, it's not profitable.
And Bill, before we go to the break, anything briefly you want to say about that?
No, I think David pretty much covered that. I agree with her also. I think she had a good comment.
Great. And Cindy, please make sure we have your full mailing address in Findlay, Ohio, because you have also won a free copy of The Church of Rome at the Bar of History, compliments of our friends at Banner of Truth. We're going to our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
And this time we'll have David start with an answer. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, one of our most faithful, loyal, and generous supporters. Greetings, brothers. I know, or I believe, that most Roman Catholic doctrine is from councils. However, doesn't the Pope set some doctrines by just declaring it a doctrine? And if you could start, David.
Well, I think that when you engage Roman apologists on this subject, they'll point out that, if I'm not mistaken, Bill can correct me, I think there have only been allegedly two ex-cathedra statements by the popes. And I think one had to do with
the Assumption of Mary.
The Assumption of Mary in Vatican II, I believe.
And the infallibility of the papacy.
And the infallibility of the papacy. Or, I'm not sure, I don't want to confuse that. It may have been the Immaculate Conception of Mary. I'm not sure if both of them are related to the Marian dogmas, but
they were both ex-cathedra, I believe.
But most Roman apologists would respond and say, "Well, since that's been so infrequent, it's really a non-issue," is how they would. But also, we think that an ex-cathedra or ex-cathedra statement, one would think that that whole concept of the infallibility of the Pope, that the Pope would be protected from error. And of course, we see examples of popes who embraced Arian Liberius, the Arian controversy, as well as Honorius concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, whether or not he had one or two wills. But they would say that only when the Pope speaks ex cathedra is it an infallible statement.
And Bill, any follow-up?
Well, there is the infallible statement of Boniface VIII, 1303, I believe, where he declared that the Bishop of Rome rules the church and that it is necessary for salvation that every human creature be subject to the Bishop of Rome for salvation. You cannot be saved unless you're subject to the Bishop of Rome. The Catechism of the it was another authoritative writing within the Roman Catholic Communion that defines that statement by Boniface as one of the few ex cathedra infallible statements by a Bishop of Rome. The other is Pius IX on the Immaculate Conception in 1859, declaring Mary to have been born free of original sin, to be perfectly holy in her life. That also is a dogma. He declared that you cannot be saved apart from submission to that doctrine. The next one is, as you mentioned, in 1950 with Pius XII, the Declaration of the Assumption of Mary.
In fact, folks, let that sink in. 1950, not 1850, 1750, 1650, 1950.
And it is an ex cathedra infallible statement of the Bishop of Rome. So you only have really about three.
In fact, we have to call it
in the history of the church.
We have to call time now because we're out of time. I look forward to getting you both back on very soon, and I will schedule another interview as quickly as possible with you. I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington can be found at gracebiblebattleground.org, gracebiblebattleground.org. Christian resources can be found at christiantruth.com, christiantruth.com. And Christ Church of Katy, Texas can be found at cckpca.org, cckpca.org. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.